All right. Thank you for coming, everybody. We had some really good talks this morning, and I hope we'll continue some high-quality ones later this morning. And this one, we were interested in updating Petiole. I was in Texas for 12 years in Lubbock and worked a lot in La Mesa. And now, for the last 4.5 years, I've been in Arizona. And we tried looking at Petiole back in about 2000, 2001. And I wasn't so satisfied with the results. They were very variable. But in Arizona, the real West, I guess you could say, the Western U.S., the petiole is very commonly used. So I said, really, we've really got to look at this more carefully. And so we're in collaboration with Randy, if Randy's here. We wanted to update and look at these. So if you look at the bottom, my introduction is just what I said, that it is common in the far western U.S., but the wrecks are really old. They're over 20 years, and the varieties are, I think, Delta Pine 90 and varieties like that. So Maricopa is here, and Safford, our second site where Randy's at, is more of the high desert about there. 100% irrigated. We only get about 6 inches of rainfall a year. These are the objectives. In Maricopa, Central Arizona, looked at a new sprinkler system, and Randy has the surface irrigation in Safford. So we compared with the chlorophyll meter and leaf nitrogen analysis as well. There's Randy. I didn't see him earlier. Just to show you, talk about the methods a little bit. I don't have a picture of Randy's rig, but this ground applicator up here on the top left belongs to Pedro Andrea Sanchez, where we're knifing in. Over here, we were doing fertigation into polypipe. And this last year, we got a high-clearance vehicle from Shafter when one of the ARS stations closed. And we were dribbling in the fertilizer. I think you can see. You probably can't. The spray here, the spray or the dribble is a fertilizer nozzle by Green Leaf. It's about 18 inches wide, and then we put these little drops on it late in the season. So with this high-clearance vehicle, we're definitely able to get into the field later than you can with this vehicle. So we were able to do 3 splits this year. Randy was doing 2. This is the cotton in Maricopa. And we have these drag hoses here, 40-inch rows. Here's some more about the methods. We did pick 12 leaves and petioles from the same leaf per plot or GPS point. There's 2 GPS points in Maricopa. We did extract them 10 to 1, used a seal automated spectrophotometer with a cadmium reduction. Chlorophyll meter on the same leaf and leaf nitrogen. We did on all 12 leaves, ground together with a LECO analyzer. This is a picture of our Hermie Liddell, one of the teachers at the Ira Hayes High School on the Gila River reservation nearby. She was working with, you can see the SPAD meter. You can see her pulling that leaf. So this, I won't spend a lot of time on this because I'm giving a talk in 30 minutes. Where I'll talk more about the nitrogen and the agronomy in response and nitrogen recovery of this experiment. So this talk now, I'm going to focus on the petiole analysis, and the rates range. Our high rates of 1.3 of soil tests were 208 pounds to the acre. We had 6 row plots that were 120 feet long. Some more pictures. Here's a picture from Safford. I don't remember your plot size, Randy. What were they?
200 feet by 4.
Okay. And we have Delta Pine 1044 at both locations. 1044 is planted by about 55% of the growers in Central Arizona. And then we had a second variety of 1359 at Safford as well. You can see a little bit of the end efficiency there in terms of height and leaf color. Let's go ahead and look at some of the data. I do like to use day of the year on the x-axis, but I could tell you that the 150th day of the year is about Pinhead Square, we did have our first split of nitrogen is out here, okay. And we started measuring at Pinhead Square. 175 days is first bloom. And then into here, we're getting to near the end of the graph, peak bloom. Actually, the first open bowl is out here. And what you can see with the asterisks is basically showing a statistical difference between zero and the fertilized treatments. Generally speaking, at both sites, we did not get differences among the nitrogen fertilizer treatments. You could see the typical decline with petiole. A crash was a term that Glenn used earlier in his data. We did get a bit of a rebound here, and that's a little bit hard to explain because the zero went up as well. We did rerun these before Christmas, but I think these points are a little bit higher than these points as well. Physiologically, there was just more nitrate accumulating, but we'll see the leaf nitrogen in a second. But the take-home point here is that the petiole was very sensitive at first bloom of showing nitrogen deficiency. So bear that in mind. And then if we compared this to the RECs that are now current for Arizona at first bloom, you could see that it's about 8,000 ppm in there. And that, going back to our slide, you know, we were well below that in the zero plots, except for here we were not. Now, we do show some of these as being borderline at about 8,000 ppm in this blooming period for fertilized. But if we look at leaf nitrogen now, we can see, first of all, you have a bit of an increase and then a 5.5%. Pretty stable at a little over 4%. So it's interesting you saw the petiole continue to crash. And so to me, that's one of the downsides of the petiole is the crash. And during a critical stage, mid-bloom to peak bloom, when you want it, we have the ability to apply nitrogen. And what can you do with data that's crashing? But the leaf is more stable. That's one thing we like about that. But the leaf end was actually a little bit more sensitive than the petiole. We got it a week earlier. And this point here was borderline significant. Then we looked at the chlorophyll meter. The chlorophyll meter, you can see, wasn't as sensitive. It didn't show the difference to break out until about the 190th day, which was well into mid-bloom. Let's jump over to Safford. Safford, a similar pattern with, by the way, with the two varieties, there was no statistical differences for petiole. There was for leaf end and spad meter, so we pooled that right here. And so here again, starting very high, I didn't point out how high we were on the other one, is we were about 14,000 at Maricopa, but pushing 20,000 at Safford. And then we get this planting date was about the 26th of April, so it's pretty similar to our May 1st planting date in Maricopa. So basically, you're talking about again, first bloom. Most of this graph is the blooming period. And you could see this is a bit borderline. It crashed, but then it did break out. In here, these are staying even higher at about 10,000 ppm, well above the threshold. The spad meter readings at Safford, you could see that they're much more stable. They're mostly over 40 the whole time. And it was a bit off and on. There's a point here where it didn't show any differences. But and let me see. This is for, by the way, this is for 1044. Now, if we look at the other variety, you'll see in a minute, I'll show you yield data. It did yield higher, but the readings are higher and the leaf end is higher. But it's pretty dodgy with the significance of the spad meter. It's just not as near effective as this petiole. Here's the yield data. This may be a little bit of a small slide, but this is Maricopa. The yields are here, 1,460 pounds for zero, and averaging about 1,700 for the fertilized. These are our end rates, 0, 80, 104, 208, no differences. So we had a plateau on the yields. And at Safford, the 1,359 yielded higher, 2,000-pound yields versus 1,800-pound fertilized yields for 1044. The zero plots, 1,660 here and 1,812. So higher yielding with the 1359. You can see his nitrogen rates were quite a bit lower than ours. The soil test algorithm said 95, and we had a 30% higher rate. So the thing about it plateauing is we can't really get any information on how much to apply. If the zero end is showing deficiency with the petiole, we can get some validation of the critical deficiency levels, but we didn't see as much information as we wanted to see with respect to a quadratic response on our petiole. We didn't see it. So let's look now here before I wrap up on the correlation at Maricopa. So then we had the SPAD, the leaf end, and the petiole. So why don't we just do simple correlation on all this? And this is the same time period. I have trouble explaining the negative correlations early in the season, but things settle down later on. You get nice positive correlations between petiole and leaf end. The SPAD meter, it doesn't have as quite a good relationship. You see not significant, 57.52, but we see 8100, 7500s with leaf end and petiole. If we look at the Safford site, we didn't finish our leaf end data in time for the meeting, but we have a couple dates of that. And we have all the data for petiole and SPAD, and it's a fairly sparse data set. But the little bit of leaf end that we have, we're looking pretty good with a leaf end and petiole, especially here. And the leaf end differences should jump out here, but there's no differences with nitrogen in here, in these first 2 days that we analyzed, but there is with petiole. So to wrap it up, we saw that we had nitrogen fertilizer responses. It's very typical the first year you do a cotton study on one site, but there wasn't differences among the end treatments. So that's why I was trying to say we can't get a petiole response curve because it's linear plateau. There was high correlation, although we didn't finish. We have to still finish all the leaf end at Safford. That's between petiole and leaf end. The SPAD correlations weren't as good. Now, the petiole defected deficiencies very early, which was good. Leaf end did good at one site. The SPAD definitely wasn't as sensitive as that. I talked about the cultivar differences. And so what can we take home with our first objective and wanting to compare it with the current U of A recs? For the zeros, we think we're in pretty good shape. Again, this is preliminary. We want to continue the study for the next second or third year. But in terms of this blooming period, mid-bloom, it seems to me that the 7,000 to 8,000 range that we had, which was on the high end of deficient according to our graphs and tables, but the leaves were very healthy, 4% end. You've got to agree at mid-bloom is a healthy nitrogen for the leaf. And so we can see that we probably will be doing some revising as we move on. So that's all I have for my talk. Any questions? Thank the people that helped us and Cotton Inc. Support. Byron goes to U of A. He came from a local high school. Some of our techs. And we also had some a lot of summer interns that helped us with the sampling. Questions? Got 1 minute. Okay. Well, we'll just get it and push ahead of schedule. That'd be fine.